Your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians. I want us to be thinking about Thanksgiving, so I put a scripture up here for you. Always give thanks. But Colossians chapter 2, please. As we get near to our Thanksgiving celebration, I want to remind us all that we do have much to be grateful for, that Jesus is real, that he does love us, that he did go to the cross for us so that we could have heaven. And again, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, we will give you that opportunity for sure. And if you're wondering about why we always talk Jesus, 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 and especially in this time of the year, you need to think about this. There is no greater place than to know that we have eternity in heaven. And sometimes we say that and it just kind of flippantly moves on and you just go on. But eternity is real and eternity is forever. And we don't really comprehend eternity in our finite minds. We think of eternity being 100 years or 150 years or 120 years. Eternity goes on and on and on and on and on and on further than we could ever imagine. And we can have peace that whole time. We can have joy that whole time because Jesus made a way. So we do have reason to be thankful, to be excited. And to be honest with you, here on earth, some of us come from good families. Amen. But some of us come from not so good families. That's very, very real. That's a reality. And so it kind of puts us all on the same playing field because honestly, it doesn't matter. It's minute compared to eternity. The life we live here for the next 80, 90 years, 100 years, is small in comparison to eternity. And so that being said, yeah, we have reason to celebrate. And the Apostle Paul is speaking to us here. I'm going to begin reading to you at verse number 5. And we'll follow along with me. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Yeah. For though I am absent in the flesh, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Colossians, Colossae, the people there. He says, though I'm absent in the flesh, I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then he gives us a warning of everything we just told us. He's excited about where we are. He's excited that we're walking with Jesus. He's excited we're being built up. He's excited we're established in the faith. He's excited about that. And then he gives us a warning in verse 8. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we approach your throne of grace. Father, thanking you for the word of God that is truth, that is yes and amen. Thank you that the word is going to set us free today as we learn from the pages of your word, as the Holy Spirit illuminates things that we may have not thought about or even considered. But God, you're shining a light on that this morning so that we can move forward and be the light that you've called us to be in this dark world. Father, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you, Lord God, that you desire that we walk in you, that we are built up in you, and that we be established in the faith we now have in you. And so, Father, I thank you that as we continue to abide and be taught in that faith, God, that we can live an abundant life with thanksgiving. Father, for this we thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for us to concentrate on verses 6 and 7 of what you just read. And if you write in your Bible, if you highlight maybe your Bible, I want you to highlight a few things as we kind of read this again. In verse number 6, he says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Underline in him or highlight that. In him. He goes on to say in verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Underline that, in him. And established in the faith. You need to underline in the faith. In the faith. As you have been taught, that's what happens when you come to church, when you hang out among believers, amen. You talk about it and you get taught. Abounding in it. Highlight in it. Because you're referring to the faith that we have in Jesus. Abounding in it. How do we abound in that faith? With thanksgiving. Amen? With thanksgiving. If we delete with thanksgiving, we're left really kind of empty. So I want us to think a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving. I'm not going to go deep into this, but as we know that it began as a really small community's response, and then a colonial response, and then ultimately, eventually, our nation's response to divine provision and divine protection. Right? So then gratitude or feeling thankful is actually a universal experience. I mean, when good things happen or where we're on the backside of a rough time in life, something in us, intuitively, just instinctively, in all of us, they want to say thank you. It's just this automatic feeling of gratitude. And for some folks, it's like, whew, thank goodness. And for others, we actually say, thank you, Jesus, or thank God. Thank something or someone, right? It's behind us. Glory. We're just all instinctively thankful, though some of us express it differently. We are thankful. Amen? It's almost like we can't help it. It's a natural response. And that's okay. That's a good response. Amen? But the thing is, we're going to learn today that sometimes that response differs in such a way that we can be misled. So I say almost because when it comes to expressing gratitude to each other, it's not always intuitive, right? I mean, it's not always easy. It's not always so calmly done, expressed. Sometimes we withhold our gratitude, and when we withhold gratitude, when I withhold gratitude, we actually create a gap in a relationship. I think about this and I'm thinking, wow, how many times have I been guilty of this? But anyway, let's learn something from this. Because when we create that gap in a relationship, it's a space that should be filled. It's like it's unfinished business. It just kind of stays there. You know, I was reflecting back on this, not even on my note, but I was reflecting back on this, thinking about how many times I missed it, even at home. My wife has been telling me for years of what her desires of changing some things in our backyard. I heard her, but I didn't express how I felt about it. I heard her, but I didn't find urgency in it. And here all of a sudden I decided, you know what, it's time I do something with this. And we began doing something, and you should see the smile this lady carries. I mean, from one ear to the other, she's just happy. And I'm thinking, man, I messed up. I could have had this a long time ago. Glory be to Jesus. Anyway, let me go on so you can hopefully understand this a little bit. There is that unfinished business, that gap. And you know what? If it goes on too long, it can be very dangerous. It actually undermines the integrity of the relationship. Or to put it bluntly, few things sting more than ingratitude. And here's why. Because ingratitude communicates, I don't see you. I don't see your efforts. I don't recognize you. I don't recognize what you've done. I don't recognize anything that you've sacrificed. Wow. We would never say these things. I mean, she would never tell me that. We wouldn't say that. That wouldn't be cool. That wouldn't be acceptable. It wouldn't be right. It would be awkward. So we would never say these things, but what's being communicated? What's being communicated? Those very things, right? She feels that. She feels that way, but she's not going to say that to me. In time, it creates entitlement. Now, I have a whole message on entitlement, and I'm not going to go there because I can spend an hour on that. It's my pet peeve, but that's a different preach for a different day. Okay, anyway. It's the idea of, you owed me that, so why should I say thank you for that? Ingratitude stings because it isn't natural. It's weird. It's the opposite of what was expected or earned or perhaps even deserved. So it hurts. I was expecting something different, something totally opposite. But because you hurt me, because you didn't say thank you, because you walked away, because you ignored me, the opposite was communicated. Which is odd because the other person really didn't do anything to us. Can I draw you a word picture? You know how I love word pictures. Now, this is kind of weird, but anyway, it kind of helps out. It's like playing tennis with someone. You thought they would at least hit the ball back, and they just kind of stood there, and they hit the back of the fence. Listen, there are very few things that are more hurtful than ingratitude. But at the same time, there's few things more uncomfortable than pointing out someone's ingratitude, right? Let me talk to you about this tennis game. Let's get a picture of this. I should have brought a tennis racket. We talked about it last night, but I forgot. I love drama and pictures. So picture a tennis racket in my hand. Let's just say that someone's been coming to church, a young person, I want to build a relationship. I like this person, looks good, he comes to church all the time, he's a great guy. And so we're hanging out on the Monday night men's thing, and I hear him talking to some other guys, and he's talking about how he loves to play tennis, and he enjoys playing tennis. And I play a little bit of tennis, so I'm thinking, I want to get to know this guy. So, hey, Bill. I just made that name up. Nobody's name is Bill. Say, hey, Bill, I play tennis a little bit. I'm not that good, but I wouldn't mind going out someday and playing tennis. In fact, tomorrow I'm free at about 4 in the afternoon. You want to go play some tennis? And he nods, kind of, yeah. So I'm like, okay, so I'm going to get to know this guy, right? We're going to go play some tennis. And by the way, when he was here, we had a great time. We fed him, and we were nice to him and kind to him, like we are to all the men that show up. He never said much. Just kind of came, ate spiritually and physically, and left. But I want to get to know him. What's up with this guy? So anyway, we're going to go play tennis. So I brought my tennis racket, got my tennis gear on, got my tennis balls. We're going to go play some tennis. And I pick him up. We go to the court and stretching. I won't go through all that. But anyway, we're doing our stretches. And I get the tennis ball. I'm like, here we go. Bam! And he just stands there. And the ball bounces and hits the back of the fence. Maybe he wasn't ready. All right, you ready, Bill? Here we go. And I hit the ball. Bam. And he just stands there. Bam. I thought you knew how to play this game, All right, you ready this time? Here we go. We got one more left. There's three balls in the can. Never mind. Anyway, so I throw the next ball up and I'm bam. And he just stands there. What do you do when you have no reaction? And the next words you hear is, I want to go home. And of course, being the nice guy that I am, you need a ride? I mean, so I give him a ride home, right? When we get to the house, he walks off. I'm thinking, whoa. And it kind of leaves you feeling kind of childish. Kind of like, what just happened? I mean, the same feeling you get when you do something for someone and get no acknowledgement. You're thinking, you didn't even say thank you. Hey, I better thank you every now and then, buddy. You never show me any appreciation. Come think of it. I fed you last night. You didn't say thank you. I didn't say any. You know, we would never say those things, right? You're not going to say those things. I would never say those things. Because you know what? When you say those things, it makes us feel small and insecure. Not to mention, you know, when you say that to people like that, they'll probably say, oh, okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry. But what we hear, is, I'm so sorry, little baby boy. I'm so sorry, little baby, who you constantly need reassurance and reaffirmation. Right? Isn't that what we think we hear? I can get messy, right? I'm like, oh, my gosh. So even asking about or bringing up the subject of ingratitude is very uncomfortable. And ingratitude is a strange thing because, well, it's not even a thing. It's non-existent. And it's not always packaged in silence or lack of response. Sometimes ingratitude is actually expressed verbally. We've all been in this situation. You do something for somebody else, and instead of saying thank you, they say, you didn't do it right. Or you buy something for them, and it's like, I don't like the color. I hate that color. You know, I mean, we've been there. You know what I'm talking about. But mostly, in most cases, ingratitude is a absence of words, an absence of recognition of something that we've done that deserves recognition, even if just a little bit. It's a strange thing, isn't it? What's awkward to me is that these are things we really never think about, but we don't express them or talk about them, but we've all been there. I mean, I can see, I'm telling you, and you're all going, y'all are like, yeah. And immediately in your mind, you're thinking, oh, yeah, so-and-so, that, you know, you got somebody in your mind, so it's a real thing, but we never talk about it. So I want to talk about it this morning. Before we go too far, though, if it's any consolation to you, this has been going on forever. I mean, do you remember when the Israelites traveled through the wilderness? I mean, they had just been released from slavery. They were slaves in Egypt. And Moses sets them free. The Red Sea opens up, and they go through the Red Sea in dry land. We're talking, this is a great victory. This is awesome. Who else could do this? Right? But check this out. In Numbers chapter 21, I put it up here just for time purposes because I got a lot to tell you this morning. So in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 and 5, this is out of the New Living Translation. Verse 4 says, then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey. They began to speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complained. There's nothing to eat here and nothing to drink. And we hate this horrible manna. My gosh. Can you say yuck? Man. You know, rather than being grateful for their newfound freedom, I mean, they just came out of a slavery for years. They've been slaves. And instead of being grateful for their freedom, the Israelites were disappointed in the wilderness as their new location. I guess they thought they were going to live there forever. I don't know. They complained first that there was no food, and then the next breath expressed disdain for the manna God provided to meet their natural needs. Did you see that? Let me check this out. Where would I do this? Okay, look at this. Why have you brought us out to Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complained. There is nothing, you see that? Nothing to eat here and nothing to drink. And we hate this horrible manna. What is manna? That's food. But they just said they didn't eat. So did they eat or didn't they eat? Hello? So it's been going on for a while. It's not new to any of us, right? I mean, it's not new, but anyway. This group focused only on the circumstances they saw as unsatisfactory rather than choosing to focus on the ways God had blessed them. So their attitude toward God was certainly ungratefulness. The other odd thing about this ingratitude is this. It looms large when we're the victims. I mean, it's all we can see when somebody else has been so ungrateful. We can't miss it. We try, but we can't. I mean, you go out of your way to help somebody and do something for them, and they don't even say thank you. I'm like, do you realize I spent money on this? Do you realize I've spent time helping you? Do you realize I've done nothing but love you? And you just walk away? You can't even say thanks or anything? Wow. Here's the thing, though. As much as it hurts us being the victims, the person that's doing it is clueless. They're not even thinking about, did I hurt them? Did I, was I supposed to say something? They're not thinking that way. They're not. Typically, those people think about three people, me, myself, and I. But I'm just saying. Anyway, my concern is this. I mean, think about it. When we create a gap through our ingratitude, it's all the other person can see. But we can't see it at all. We're clueless, which is obvious to the other party, which in the moment makes the pain that much greater. And to put it simply, it's like this. The recipient is always aware, but the culprit is rarely aware. Really odd, right? Now, here's what we need to be careful of. It's easy for some, me included, to just write off ungrateful people. And I hate to say that, but it's true. I mean, gratitude goes a long way with me. And ingratitude goes a long way with me also. I think a lot about what we do and how we do things. And I can tell you it hurts when things happen that really you didn't see coming and should not have happened. We love people. We love God and we love people. It's what we do. And we love doing it. But the difficult part is you fall in love with people. And you really want to be there for them and do things for them. And sometimes they don't appreciate it. And it hurts. So there are people, honestly, that I would have a difficult time extending generosity to with my time and resources because of how they responded the last time I was generous to them. And that's something I need to monitor. I try not to blame people because I don't know how they grew up. I don't know what's happening in their lives. So I don't judge people. I try not to. Because I think that as born-again believers, me personally, as a born-again believer, I'm required to be generous regardless of to how people respond. If I'm loving you so that I can receive love back, then I'm really not doing it for the right reason. If God tells me to love you, then I love you, regardless of what you look like, in hope that God would use that love to one day spark their attention of who he is and how he used us to reach them. That makes sense? I'm required to be generous regardless of how people respond. But let's get real, though. I mean, come on. It's a whole lot easier to extend generosity to grateful people. Amen? I mean, I've got relatives that I love, but some of those relatives, it's a lot easier to love than some that, anyway. No. I love people, and I love being great, you know, good to people. And sometimes when people don't show that appreciation, it's hard, it's difficult, but we got to keep going. We do it because he told us to do it. And when that's correct, everything takes care of itself. We heal, we move forward. We don't wish bad on them. We don't curse them. We don't talk about them. We just move on. Keep loving. Amen? So, here's why it's important that you're in gratitude, which you might not even be aware of, your accidental ingratitude, like Melissa's air quotes, your accidental ingratitude. It's leaving a mark. We need to be aware of this. It's leaving a mark. It's undermining your respectability, and you may not even know it. Have you ever noticed that some people, when they're ungrateful, after a while, you don't have a whole lot of respect for them? This is why I'm bringing it up, because sometimes we're ungrateful and don't realize it. And I want to change that. I want to help you. Because if there's something in me that's ungrateful, that's not right, then I want change. I don't want to live this way. I don't want to lose someone's respect over a habit or something that I'm not meaning to do. Have you ever felt like you've been taken for granted? Isn't that terrible? That's a horrible feeling. It's dehumanizing. It's one of the worst things we can experience on planet Earth. I hate being taken for granted. But how many times, think about this, how many times have we been taken, I say we as Christians, have been taken advantage of because people know, oh, they're Christians, they'll forgive us. Oh, they're Christians, they'll love us anyway. Let's go ask them for money. They're Christians, they're supposed to give us money. Are you hearing my message? So, let's move on. Have you ever been accused of being ungrateful? And we all have, okay? Every one of us. And you're like most people, you probably got defensive. The reason you got defensive is because you felt like somebody was accusing you of not feeling something, right? Somebody says, I don't feel like you're grateful. I think you take me for granted. We immediately get defensive and we're like, oh, hold on. No. And why are you judging me? We get defensive because we think, hey, how could you possibly know how I feel? That's the point. We don't know because you're not expressing it. We don't know how you feel. We feel unappreciated. They feel taken for granted. But we feel otherwise. So we push back and we get defensive and we say things like, but I am grateful. Listen, translated, when someone says, but you don't understand, I am grateful. Okay, hold on. Translated, I am grateful on the inside. I have grateful thoughts about you. I have grateful feelings towards you, which may be true, but it's meaningless, isn't it? See, here's the point. Unexpressed gratitude is actually experienced by the other person as ungrateful or ingratitude. Let me help you here. Through the years, I've met a lot of men in particular who are super busy. And we are. We're super busy. And we're not asking to change anything, but maybe I've said this before in men's meetings, and so I'm just going to share this with some of the ladies. A man, if he's doing life like he's supposed to, there's a lot required of him. He gets up early in the morning, gets ready to go to work. He works hard all day long. He comes home tired, but he's supposed to minister to his wife and family. So he gets home, puts his boots where they belong, takes a shower, changes clothes, whatever. Enjoys dinner nicely, thanking his wife for everything she's done, thanking her to the point where after dinner he helps her with the dishes, being grateful enough to when the dishes are done and he goes and sits down with the children and goes over their homework with them, talks to them about their day, takes them to their room, tugs them into their bed, prays with them. By the time all that's done, he comes home. He comes back to the bedroom and he's tired. And the next day you repeat it all over again. There's a lot required. I'm not saying that make excuses. I'm saying that because when these men come to me, sometimes, I don't know, they come to me with their feelings of, I'm always working, I'm always doing above and beyond, but I don't know, I'm just super busy. And they find themselves a little bit alienated from their families. Because, man, if all of a sudden you get called in, you got to work overtime, that throws a wrench into everything. And after a while, there's tension, and you get that gap again. And so they find themselves alienated from their families. And here's what I advise. Here's the advice I give them. You love your wife and you love your children, don't you? Yes, Pastor, I do. You love them in your heart, but you don't love them on your calendar. And that's where it counts. When you love them on your calendar, it communicates what you feel. Because if you can make an appointment to meet with Mr. Jones at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you're there at 2:55 because that's a business engagement, and it takes an hour and a half to make it happen because that's going to make money for you, what about your children and your wife? Can you pencil them in on a Friday afternoon to have a date with your wife? Can you pencil them in on a Saturday and say, we're going to the park that day with the children? See, when you love them on the calendar, it expresses what you really feel. If you don't love them on the calendar, they don't really know. Amen, Romy. Anyway. The same goes for gratitude. It's the expression of gratitude, not the emotion, that maintains the connection, that fills that gap and strengthens the relationship. Gratitude and ingratitude actually determine how much of you you're willing to entrust to someone else. And it determines how much he or she is willing to entrust to you. Because when we feel taken for granted, We instinctively withhold part of ourselves in order not to be hurt. Our hearts actually gravitate towards recognition and gratitude. It's not a decision, it's a response. If you're married, or if you're in what you hope to become a permanent relationship, here's a tip for you. This is really important. Don't let anyone outgrateful you. I just made up a new term. Anyway, don't let anyone outgrateful you. What are you talking about? Be the most grateful person in your loved one's life, because our hearts and their hearts gravitate toward recognition and gratitude. This goes for all of us. In fact, let me just address some of the youth. I'm going to look into the cameras because I'm going to hope when somebody's watching. If you're in middle school or high school and you're a student living at home, which you should be, I want to tell you something. Now, you don't have to tell your parents. I told you this again. When you want more freedom, you want more yeses and nos from your parents, be grateful for everything out loud. And here's why. Your parents and parents in general, they're accustomed to being taken for granted. If you're the typical student, and I know you don't think you're typical, I don't mean that in a bad way, but if you're a typical student, if you are a typical student, here's how you might be thinking. Well, of course I have a room. Of course I have cool clothes. Of course I have food, more food than I could eat. And of course I have a ride to school. That's what they're supposed to do, their parents. Don't be typical. Don't be typical. I'm telling you the truth. Turn up your gratitude. Here's why. First of all, your parents deserve it. And second, it will melt their hearts, because gratitude is the language of the heart. Besides, they don't actually owe you anything. Newsflash. At the end of the day, everybody's a volunteer. If you're a great husband and you're doing everything you can to do to please your wife, you volunteered to do that. Nobody told you. Nobody put a gun to your head and said, yeah, you got to do this. You volunteer that. If you're a good employee and you do a good job at wherever you're working, it's because you take pride in what you do. It's because that's what's going to bring you a promotion. That's what's going to cause you to do well where you're living. Nobody puts a gun to your head. You're volunteering. When you're a good parent, you're good because you volunteered for that position. But he's watching everything. Everything we do. So, my advice, be ridiculously grateful. I hope this is causing you to think, as it has me, to bump up our gratitude a notch. I think about the people I'm grateful for in my heart, but they haven't heard it from my lips. They haven't read it in a text I sent them. They know I love them, really, do they? They know I care, do they really know? By you not telling them, they're thinking you don't. Now, a disclaimer, granted. Some people don't remember or receive our expressions of gratitude towards them. Have you ever told someone how grateful you are to them, and later on they're talking about, well, they're so ungrateful, they never say thank you to me. I only said it 13 times in one day. Weren't you listening? But there are people like that. They don't remember. They're not good at receiving our expressions of gratitude towards them. Maybe they've put up a wall. Maybe they don't even recognize. Maybe they weren't raised with many expressions of thanks and were mostly criticized in life. Nevertheless, keep filling the gap. Keep filling the gap. To close, I want you to go back to Colossians 2. Can you do that for me? Go back to Colossians 2 for a second as we close. In fact, if you want to, I've put the two main verses up here for you. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Our gratitude towards each other is or should be produced from a relationship with Jesus. Amen? I asked you to underline that first underlining to walk in Him. Walk in Him. Christ Jesus, by faith. This is how we received Him, amen? By faith. We walk with Him or in Him. Sometimes we thank by faith the Lord and others. I mean, you ever been through a tough situation? You're wondering, why am I going through this? And you simply have to say, I'm not sure why I'm going through this, but thank you, Jesus. I know I'm going to come out to the other side. Thank you, Jesus. Something good is going to come from this. Thank you, Jesus. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me. Thank you, Jesus. We're thanking Him by faith. Amen. We don't like where we are, but thank God we're not going to stay there because we're moving forward by faith. And it's the same thing with others. Sometimes we tell people thank you when inside you're thinking, you ungrateful thing, I've said thank you to you 18 times. You ain't heard me yet, but hey, God, thank you again. Thank you. Thank you. And you just keep filling that gap. You just got to keep doing it by faith. Amen? I'm not a mean person. I'm just making sure you understand. To be rooted and built up in Him. Did I not get there? Let's try that again. My battery just quit. Can you help me out? Emmanuel, can you hit the next link, please? There we go. Rooted and built up in Him. It means not rooted and built up in our experiences, feelings, or the voices of the world. Gratitude is most effective as we walk in the Spirit of God. Amen? Next one. Established in the faith. Right? Established in the faith. Remember, I asked you to underline that. Gratitude is simply spiritual maturity. When you're spiritually mature, you learn to say thank you, even when you think they're not listening. They're not paying attention to me. But you do it anyway because you're spiritually mature. And you know that He's watching and He hears everything. Amen. Amen? Spiritual maturity. The next one. Abounding in it. In it is in the faith. How? With thanksgiving. Our faith flourishes when we give thanks and praise, and our relationships with fellow believers and others are affected by our faith. A grateful heart to God makes it easier to be grateful to others. Think about that for a minute. A grateful heart to God. God, I love you. I remember where I used to be. Thank God I'm not there anymore. I love you. God, you are so good to me. You are so, so good to me. I remember when I was sick and you healed me. I remember when I was lost and you found me. I remember when I was disgusted and you gave me hope. I remember when I was helpless and you gave me help. I remember when I was hopeless and you gave me hope. I can remember those things. So when you're grateful to God for everything he's done in your life, it's easy to be grateful to people. People. Can I tell you, people is the only thing going to heaven? Your new truck's not going? Your beautiful home ain't going anywhere? The only thing going to heaven is people. And maybe your thank you will be the thank you that'll break that situation. Maybe your thank you and your expression of love will be what causes them to say, man, I did everything to get him upset and he said thank you? We don't know, do we? Wow. I'm going to ask you to go to one more scripture, please. The book of Romans, chapter 16. The Apostle Paul gives thanks to God for people often. Often. But I want us to take note in something we're going to read here in Romans, chapter 16. And I want you to see where he is thanking someone and his gratitude multiplies. I love that. So let's begin reading verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Caesarea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of. For indeed, she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Okay, so she's acknowledging that. He's showing gratitude towards her by asking others to do things for her. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. See, they recognize Aquila and Priscilla helped Paul. They risked their own lives to help him. And if they hadn't, Paul would have never made it here to share the word of God with us. Paul would have never been able to come and share hope to us and share love to us. We would not be growing in the things of God if Paul weren't here. And the only reason Paul is here is because Aquila and Priscilla risked their very lives to help him get here. You see how that multiplied? Now the whole church is grateful. The whole church, you know, they may not even know Aquila and Priscilla, but they thank God for her. Listen, this happens a lot. I'm only speaking, I'm not trying to pick sides here, but I'm just speaking to men because I'm involved with the men's ministry. But Brother John, how many times have we been asked to pray for people we don't know? They don't know us, but we pray for them. And then there's been times when they show up. Brother John, meet so-and-so. Remember we prayed for him. Whoa, and he's got a testimony in his lips. Why? The gratefulness multiplied. Yesterday I received a testimony. Brother John's daddy is cancer-free now. We prayed for this man. And what did he say, John? Thank your church for praying for me. His gratefulness multiplied. His gratitude multiplied. God is pleased when we have a grateful heart. He's pleased. Isn't that what we want, is to please our Heavenly Father? Stand to your feet with me. I want to take first things first, and I told you earlier, I didn't want you to leave this place if you did not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. What good is it for me to tell you that eternity is so much better than what you're living through today? Eternity is forever and ever and ever. And even though we don't totally understand it in our minds, it's a good place to go. In heaven, there is be no more dying, no more crying, no more sighing, no more sickness. And it's forever. How dare we play around here on earth and risk heaven, risk eternity? And it really wouldn't be fair for me to stand here and tell you about a glorious place called heaven and I'll give you an opportunity to get there. You see, God loves us so much, He didn't make it complicated. He made it very easy. He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for you. He died so we could live. Everything we've ever done wrong, He took it upon Himself and He paid that price so that we could be free. So we wouldn't have to think about it and allow it to hold us back from living a free life for Him. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, I would count it an honor and a privilege to pray with you, to introduce you to Jesus. Is there anyone at all that would say, Pastor, pray for me? Anyone at all? Maybe you're here and you remember the day you prayed that prayer. And then life happened. Life happened. Somebody walked into your life, took you away from the things of God. Situation happened. You weren't coming to church anymore. 2020 was not kind to us. A lot of people aren't coming back to church because they got used to staying at home. They got used to watching this on TV. And, well, that's my pastor. Really? When you get sick, are you going to call him? Do you even have his cell phone number? I'm not trying to come down on anyone. Listen, we did the same thing. We want to make sure you got the word of God. But that's behind us. I want to encourage you, come to church. We love you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you. We want to encourage you. We want to be here for you. Because I truly mean we do two things. We love God and we love people. And so maybe you're watching online and you've never prayed this prayer before. You're away from God. You walked away from Him. You didn't mean to. You didn't want to. You didn't plan on it. It just kind of happened. Life happened. And I love the Bible. The Bible says God loves the backslider. He loves the backslider. He loves it when people come back to Him. Hermano Magdaleno, venga por favor. I've asked Brother Magdaleno to come join me. The gentleman here, a friend, wants to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Wants to recommit his life. Amen. Ora con él, por favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He's journeyed a long ways. Venezuela, ¿verdad? Bendiciones, hermano. Gracias. Venezuela's a long ways. A lot of circumstances happened before he got here, but he's here. We're not blaming God for anything because we don't know. We're only blaming God for his love and for his saving power, for his mercy and for his grace. Regardless of why he's here or how he got here, he's saying yes to Jesus today. And that is more important than anything else. If there's anyone else who would like to have prayer this morning to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I would like to do that with you. In a minute, we're going to pray because I don't want to leave anyone out that may be watching online. And I want to invite you to pray also and invite Jesus into their heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord God. Glory. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for His mercy, His grace, His faithfulness. Never want to run away from Him. Hallelujah. Let's give God glory. Amen. Join me, if you will. I want to pray to the cameras. I want to pray to someone who may be watching who needs Jesus into their heart, who needs Jesus in their lives. Can we pray this together? Say, Jesus, I'm sorry for any sin I may have committed, for all I've done wrong. I'm sorry. I ask you today to forgive me. I invite you to come into my heart, come into my life, and be Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that I can now live for you freely. Help me, Jesus, live for you all the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, I want to pray and ask God to help us be more grateful, have an attitude of gratitude, have gratitude in our hearts towards fellow man, and certainly have gratitude in our hearts towards Him. We do that. This Thanksgiving is going to be different. This Thanksgiving, we're going to go to that relative that everybody runs from. And we're going to embrace. We're going to ask God, Father, help me think of something good to tell this person. Help me think of something that'll encourage this person. Help me to even pray with him. Father, I give you my life. Use me. Father, I thank you for this Thanksgiving season. I thank you, Father, for the families and friends that will gather this Thursday. I pray, Father God, that you would use us as vessels meet for your use. God, that you would speak through us, that you would touch through us, that you would love through us. Give us your words, Father, to speak to the people who need you. Father, I thank you that we're your instruments. Use us as you see fit. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we're going to be more grateful from this point on. You're going to point out to us the areas that maybe we're ungrateful in and didn't realize it. We just didn't show that. And today, God, we're making a decision. Help us to show our gratefulness, our gratitude, our love. Father, we thank you for this and we give you praise, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. So I-